but that there may be space armies, from which reflections or shadows or Brocken specters are sometimes cast, a procession that crossed the sun, forms that moved, or that marched, sometimes four abreast. Observation by M. Bruguier at Marseilles, April 15 and 16, 1883, L. Astro, 5-70. An army that was watched, 40 minutes, by M. Jacquot, August 30, 1886, L. Astro, 1886-71, things or beings that seemed to march and to counter-march, all that moved in the same direction, moved in parallel lines. In L. Annie Scientific, 29-8, there is an account of observations by M. Trevelot, August 29, 1871. He saw objects, some round, some triangular, and some of complex forms. Then occurred something that at least suggests that these things were not moving in the wind, nor sustained in space by the orbital forces of meteors, that each was depending upon its own powers of flight, and that an accident occurred to one of them. All of them, though most of the time moving with great rapidity, occasionally stopped, but then one of them fell toward the earth, and the indications are that it was a heavy body, and had not been sustained by the wind, which would scarcely suddenly desert one of its flotsam and continue to sustain all the others. The thing fell, oscillating from side to side like a disc falling through water. New York, Sunday, March 16, 1890. That, at 4 o'clock, in the afternoon of March 12, in the sky of Ashland, Ohio, was seen a representation of a large, unknown city. By some persons it was supposed to be a mirage of the town of Mansfield, 30 miles away. Other observers thought that they recognized Sandusky, 60 miles away. The more superstitious declared that it was a vision of the New Jerusalem. May have been a revelation of heaven, and for all I know heaven may resemble Sandusky, and those of us who have no desire to go to Sandusky may ponder that point, but our own expression is that things have been pictured in the sky, and have not been traced to terrestrial origins, but have been interpreted always in local terms. Probably a living thing in the sky seen by farmers, a horse. Other things, or far refracted images, or shadows, and they were supposed to be vast lions or soldiers or angels, all according to preconceived ideas. Representations that have been seen in India, Hindu costumes described upon them. Suppose that, in the afternoon of January 17, 1892, there was a battle in the sky of Montana. We know just about in what terms the description would be published. Brooklyn Eagle, January 18, 1892. A mirage in the sky of Lewiston, Montana. Indians and hunters alternately charging and retreating. The Indians were in superior numbers and captured the hunters. Then details hunters tied to stakes, the piling of faggots, etc. So far as could be ascertained last night, the Indians on the reservations are peaceable. I think that we're peaceable enough, but, unless the astronomers can put us on reservations, where we'll work out expressions in beads and wampum instead of data, we'll have to carry on a conflict with the vacant minds to which appear mirages of their own emptiness in the sometimes swarming skies. Altogether, there are many data indicating that vessels and living things of space do come close to this earth, but there is absence of data of beings that have ever landed upon this earth, unless someone will take up the idea that Caspar Hauser, for instance, came to this earth from some other physical world. Whether Spock Orions have ever dredged down here or not, or sniped down here, pouncing, assailing, either wantonly, or in the interests of their sciences, there are data of seeming seizures and attacks from somewhere, and I have strong objections against lugging in the fourth dimension, because then I am no better off, wondering what the fifth and sixth are like. In Law Nature, 1888-2-66, M. Adrian Arcelin writes that, while excavating near De Salutra, in August, 1878, upon a day, described as superb, sky clear to a degree said to have been parfaitement, several dozen sheets of wrapping paper upon the ground suddenly rose. Nearby were a dozen men, and not one of them had felt a trace of wind. A strong force had seized upon these conspicuous objects, touching nothing else. According to M. Arcelin, the dust on the ground under and around was not disturbed. The sheets of paper continued upward, and disappeared in the sky. A powerful force that swooped upon a fishing vessel, raising it so far that when it fell back it sank. See London Times, September 24, 1875. A quarter of a mile away were other vessels, from which set out rescuers to the sailors who had been thrown into the sea. There was no wind, the rescuers could not use sails, but had to row their boats. Upon October 2, 1875, a man was trundling a cart from Schaffhausen, near Beringen, Germany. His right arm was perforated from front to back, as if by a musket ball, Popsi, 15-566. This man had two companions. He had heard a whirring sound, but his companions had heard nothing. At one side of the road there were laborers in a field, but they were not within gunshot distance. Whatever the missile may have been, it was unfindable. Law Nature, 1879-1-166, quotes the Courrier d'Ardennes as to an occurrence in the commune Signeuil-les-Petits, Easter Sunday, 1879. A conspicuous, isolated house, suddenly its slate roof shot into the air, and then fell to the ground. There had not been a trace of wind. The writer of the account says that the force, which he calls a trouble in UI, had so singled out this house that nothing in its surroundings beyond a distance of 30 feet had been disturbed. Scientific American, July 10, 1880. That, according to the plain dealer, of East Kent, Ontario, two citizens of East Kent were in a field, and heard a loud report. They saw stones shooting upward from a field. They examined the spot, which was about 16 feet in diameter, finding nothing to suggest an explanation of the occurrence. It is said that there had been neither a whirlwind nor anything else by which to explain. It may be that witnesses have seen human beings dragged from our own existence either into the objectionable fourth dimension, perhaps then sifting into the fifth, or up to the sky by some exploring thing. I have data, but they are from the records of psychic research. For instance, a man has been seen walking along a road, sudden disappearance. Explanation that he was not a living human being, but an apparition that had disappeared. I have not been able to develop such data, finding, for instance, that someone in the neighborhood had been reported missing, but it may be that we can find material in our own field. Upon December 10, 1881, Walter Powell and two companions ascended from Bath in the government balloon Saladin, Valentine and Tomlinson, Travels in Space, p. 227. The balloon descended at Bridport, coast of the English Channel. Two of the aeronauts got out, but the balloon, with Powell in it, shot upward. There was a report that the balloon had been seen to fall in the English Channel, near Bridport, but according to Capt. Temple, one of Powell's companions, probably something thrown from the balloon had been seen to fall. A balloon is lost near or over the sea. If it should fall into the sea, it would probably float and for considerable time be a conspicuous object. Nevertheless, the disappearance of a balloon last seen over the English Channel cannot, without other circumstances, be considered very mysterious. Now one expects to learn of reports from many places of supposed balloons that had been seen. But the extraordinary circumstance is that reports came in upon a luminous object that was seen in the sky at the time that this balloon disappeared. In the London Times, it is said that a luminous object had been seen, evening of the 13th, moving in various directions in the sky near Cherbourg. It is said that upon the night of the 16th, three custom house guards, at Laredo, Spain, had seen something like a balloon in the sky, and had climbed a mountain in order to see it better, but that it had shot out sparks and had disappeared and had been reported from Bilbao, Spain, the next day. In the Morning Post, it is said that this luminous display was the chief feature, that it was this sparkling that had made the object visible. In the Standard, December 16th, is an account of something that was seen in the sky, 5 o'clock, morning of December 15th, by Capt. McBain, of the steamship Countess of Aberdeen, off the coast of Scotland, 25 miles from Montrose. Through glasses, The object seemed to be a light attached to something thought to be the car of a balloon, increasing and decreasing in size, a large as the light at Gerd Lennis. It moved in a direction opposite to that of the wind, though possibly with wind of an upper stratum. It was visible half an hour, and when it finally disappeared, was moving toward Brvi, a town on the Scottish coast about 12 miles north of Montrose. In the Morning Post it is said that the explanation is simple, that someone in Menfrith, 8 miles from Dundee, had, late in the evening of the 15th, sent up a fire balloon, which had been carried along the coast by a gentle breeze, and, after burning all night, extinguished and collapsed off Montrose, early on Thursday morning, 16th. This story of a balloon that wafted to Montrose, and that was evidently traced until it collapsed near Montrose, does not so simply explain an object that was seen 25 miles from Montrose. In the Standard, December 19, it is said that two bright lights were seen over Dartmouth Harbour, upon the Enth. Walter Powell was Member of Parliament for Malmesbury, and had many friends, some of whom started immediately to search. His relatives offered a reward. A steamboat searched the channel, and did not give up until the 13th, fishing vessels kept on searching. A sweeping expedition was organized, and the Coast Guard was doubled, searching the shore for wreckage, but not a fragment of the balloon, nor from the balloon, except a thermometer in a bag, was found.